We're going to open this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if I had a title for this message, it would be Never Fear the Grave. Never Fear the Grave. As you know, when you think about the grave, it can be kind of a scary thing. So we want to talk about Jesus this morning going into the grave. And next week we get to talk about Him coming out of the grave. Amen. But this is a fact of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried." You know, He died according to the Scriptures from Abel, bringing His lamb, pointing forward to the death of the Lamb of God, all the way to Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament. Malachi could write in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 about the coming of this Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." In chapter 3, he's going to be the one who sits as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. So Jesus Christ, according to Daniel chapter 9, could be the one that brings an end to all of our transgressions. And Daniel saw that in vision. In Daniel 9 and verse 24 it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Jesus Christ came into this world that He might put an end to all of our transgressions. And I'm thankful that when He hung on the cross, He could declare that that work was finished forever. He put an end to transgressions. He brought all of our iniquities to a final conclusion where that He could bring in everlasting righteousness. Isaiah chapter 53 is what many have termed the gospel of the Old Testament. For in Isaiah 53, it paints a picture of the suffering servant of Jehovah. And it says about him in verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." Not his transgressions. "For he had no transgressions." It's a marvelous thing. It's an amazing thing to think about that Jesus Christ lived 33 and a half years and never committed one sin. Never thought a bad thought. Never did an evil deed in all of his life. He had no sin to atone for. But he bore our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every single one. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He died and was buried according to the Scriptures. Verse 9 of this same chapter says, "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death." The wicked being two thieves crucified with him. The rich being placed in a rich man's borrowed tomb. Jesus Christ not only died according to the Scriptures, but he was buried according to the Scriptures. So when you think about death, it can be a scary thing, because death is the king of terrors. Death is a dreadful thing when we think about going down into a deep, dark, black, lonely hole. You know, I don't know if it's true or not, but you hear all these stories from the 1700s about coffins being dug up and there being all kinds of scratch marks on the inside of the lid of that coffin where somebody woke up being buried alive and they tried to get out of that place. Now that's a scary thought, isn't it? Being buried alive. I mean, it's so scary to me that I'm almost considering cremation instead. Because if you wake up during that process, it's not going to last long. It'll be over before you can say, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side." But seriously, Jesus Christ went into a deep, dark hole. Every one of the New Testament writers tell us that. Beginning with Matthew chapter 27, we find the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 57, where it says, "When the even was come, there came a man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled the great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed." Again, Mark chapter 15, he also includes the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 42. "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation," that is, the day before the Sabbath, "Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus." Now, Pilate marveled. This is the next verse. Pilate marveled that Jesus could be so soon dead. Why did he marvel? Because crucifixion was designed to be a slow, lingering, agonizing way to die. And for Jesus to be already dead, something's just out of sync on that whole picture. So he called the centurion. Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Now that doesn't marvel with us, because we know that Jesus told us in John 10 that nobody was going to take his life from him. He willingly came to offer himself as sacrifice. So the Father gave him power to lay down his life, and he gave him power to take it back again. So then, when you turn to Luke chapter 23, Luke's account of the same scene verse 44 tells us, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." That is, his spirit departed from his body and returned to heaven. He willingly had the power to end his life at that moment. That's an amazing thing, is it not? It's a miracle in itself. He's the Lord of life. He's the Lord of death. He's the Lord over all. And so it's no mystery to us that Jesus did not linger on the cross, that he had the power to end his life immediately when the time was right. When was that time? When he had paid the price for our sins. It had come to a close. 6 long hours of suffering. What would have been eternal torments for us, he accomplished in 6 hours. And he paid the bill. No more sins to atone for. And it's time to depart this life. He gave up the ghost. He ended his life on the cross. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." I like the way that Matthew records it. The centurion said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And we can see that this morning, how beautiful it is. Truly, this was the Son of God. No other man in the world, when they died, had the whole world turned dark. Had an earthquake that rent the rocks and split them wide open, and the dead come back to life and walk among the city. Only the man Jesus had this happen at his death. Truly, this was the Son of God. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned, and all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in a stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the final testimony of the last gospel writer, John, chapter 19, verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And so the Lord Jesus Christ went into this dark hole in the ground, but Jesus had no fear. Jesus did not fear that grave. And he would say to all of us this morning, do not fear the grave. Do not fear to die. Do not fear in any way this grave. You know why? Because, you know, David said it in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 in verse 4 is one of the most comforting verses in all of the Bible. And it's so good to say that over to ourselves so often. And when we come to the moment to die, oh, it'll be good to have that locked away in our heart so that it might comfort us again. Psalm 23 and verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why will he fear no evil? Well, he tells us, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. You know, that is the comforting blessing that all God's people have. No matter where we are in life, no matter if we're standing on the brink of death, we have this glorious truth to lay hold of. For thou art with me. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There is comfort, even in a time of death, because we don't go it alone. We have Jesus Christ with us all the way. Amen. All the way. And then he tells us another wonderful truth in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 4, Jesus could say, John, this is John writing, and he's describing what Jesus Christ has done and what he is. He says in verse 4, in him was life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Now that's kind of an unusual expression. But when you stop and think about it, there is light in life. Because there is no light in death. Everything's dark. There's no light of the eyes. There's no light at all. It's all dark. But Jesus Christ himself is not only life, but he's the light of men. So if you have Jesus, you'll never have a dark place in your life, because he is the light of the world. And when you get to the grave, he's going to light it all up, because he is light. Wherever he shines, there'll be no darkness. But when it comes your turn to die, I want you to see some wonderful truths. You will never go down into a deep, dark hole in the ground. You never will. As a believer in Jesus Christ, the testimony of God's Word is this. First of all, let's go to, well, we'll go, since I'm almost here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What happens when you die? You don't go down into the grave. Your spirit flies away to be with Jesus. You'll never go in the grave. Now, this old body will go in the grave, but that thing that filled that body, that gave you light and the ability to speak and to enjoy life, has already flown away to be in the presence of the Lord. And I tell you how beautiful that is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, Paul comes back in Philippians, and he says in Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 23, he says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And that word depart is talking about taking down a tent. And that's what happens when we die. It's like this old tent just folded up, and we fly away to be with Jesus. To die is to depart and to be with Christ. We'll never go down into the grave. And lastly, in that 23rd chapter again of the book of Luke, Luke 23. Oh, what a scene this is. How many truths it teaches us. There were two thieves crucified on the side of Jesus. And when you read the gospel, the writers, and you compare all the things that went on, you'll find that Matthew records that both of these men began to rail upon Jesus Christ when they were crucified. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" I'm so thankful that God can work in a person's heart. In just a moment of time, in a few hours space, they hung on this cross, and both of them began to cast these things in the teeth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But somewhere along the way, God's wonderful grace chains one of these thieves, and now he saw his own just condemnation, and that he was hanging beside one of the most just men that he had ever known, that he truly had to be the Son of God. And then he says to this man, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Oh, how sweet that is. To be a sinner all your life and God's grace change your heart. How blessed that is to be able to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to cry out to Him, "Lord, when You come into Your kingdom, remember me." I want you to see what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, "Truly, I say unto thee, today, shalt thou be with me in paradise." Yeah. Oh, your body will die on this terrible tree, but your spirit's going to fly away and be with me in paradise, and we'll never go into that deep, dark grave. Never fear, because your soul is going to fly away and be with Jesus. You know what promise He gave us? In Hosea chapter 13, Hosea, that Old Testament prophet. Sometimes you look at these minor prophets and you wonder what kind of truth can really come out of these Old Testament prophets. Well, Hosea gives us some very wonderful little nuggets along the way. And here's one of them. Chapter 13, verse 14. Jesus gave us a promise. He promised to destroy every grave. "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. And repentance shall be hid from his eyes." That means he'll never turn away from this glorious promise. It's going to be fulfilled. When this old body lies in the ground, he's going to call it forth. But our spirit will never be there. It's going to fly away and be with Jesus. So you remember, boys and girls, when you believe in Jesus, you'll never go down into that terrible, dreadful old grave. Thank you, Jesus.